Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
It's time for Jeff Passan. He joins us weekly on the Waddle and Sylvie show to talk Cubs and White Sox. Joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. How's your opening week gone for baseball this year, Jeff?
Swimmingly, gentlemen. How are you?
We're doing well. So give me, what was the one big takeaway from each of our baseball teams? The Sox have played for a week. They won their home opener yesterday. The Cubs have played for a week. Do you have a big thought on both teams?
Let's start with the Sox. I think even though they're still at 500 through eight games, they have shown flashes of what could develop into a championship caliber team. We have seen them hit, and we've seen, you know, up and down their lineup, they have guys hit, whether it's Yermín Mercedes or Yoan Moncada going oppo. I mean, they have the ability to put runs up on the board, and we've also seen great pitching from Lucas Giolito and Lance Lynn. And if you can get two frontline type guys pitching, that will get you through a postseason when you have a bullpen like the White Sox have. And I know the bullpen hasn't performed quite the same as expected, but they have so much depth there, and you see what Kopech's done so far. Like, it's scary to think what some of these guys are capable of. And if the White Sox really get things ramped up and get that engine going, they're going to be really tough to beat. And I don't mean in the American League Central. I mean by anyone. Like, I think if the White Sox are at their absolute best, if Eloy Jimenez comes back, if their pitching stays healthy, if everyone's playing to their potential, they may have the best chance to beat the Dodgers of anyone. And I think the Cubs are very similar in that we saw flashes of what they're capable of being too. But even though their record is better after this first week than the White Sox is, I don't know that the expectations are any different. I mean, it's nice to see Craig Kimbrel go out and look like the Craig Kimbrel who they thought they were signing, as opposed to the guy who's just been a mess for those that first year and a half. It's nice to see the prospective free agents all go deep in one day. But in the end, I really do wonder if there's enough there for the Cubs to be a competitor in the AL, or excuse me, in the NL Central this year. And that's with a team like Milwaukee, who I still think is the best team in the division, behind them.
Jeff, back to the Sox for a second. Yesterday was a fantastic home opener for the Sox in a lot of ways, including Lance Lynn with, what was it, a six-hit complete game shutout. When you see him throw 110 pitches, does that catch your eye, or is that just who Lance Lynn is, and he's a guy that takes the ball and throws 110 pitches and does it throughout the course of a whole year?
When I don't see Lance Lynn throwing over 100 pitches, it catches my eye. And remember, he had done so for, for this era, a ridiculous amount of starts in a row until his first start of the season. So the idea that Lance Lynn goes out there and throws 110, that's a big boy, fellas.
Yep.
There's a lot of meat on those bones. And he is built to throw a baseball and to throw a baseball for long stretches of time. And that is why he is so valuable. He's capable of going out there, taking a lineup like Kansas City, which is no great shakes, but I think probably better than most people recognize, and throwing a shutout. And, you know, if we're not talking like a 5 or 6 inning shutout, we're talking full-on 9-inning complete game shutout, which you rarely, if ever, see anymore. And that kind of talent, and it is a talent, is why the White Sox went out and traded for him this offseason. Because Lance Lynn is not flashy. He's going to go out there and he's going to throw his fastball like 70-80% of the time. But it's going to play, If Velo is up a little bit, he's got confidence with it. He can locate it. He can command it. I mean, you know, in this era where you have guys who are throwing junk, and I say that, like, with you know, without any anger toward it, it is a bunch of spinny crap going up there, though. Lance Lynn is old school. He will come at you with his fastball and say, I'm going to beat you with this until you beat me. But most of the time, you are not going to beat me. And it has been extremely effective for the last few years of his career.
Yep. Jeff Passan joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie. He is the first Sox pitcher, Lance Lynn, to throw a complete game in the opener since Britt Burns in 1985. He's the first Sox pitcher to throw a shutout complete game in the home opener since Wilbur Wood in 1976. Jeff, I want to ask you...
Wilbur Wood was a little different kind of pitcher.
Yeah, just a little, yeah.
I'll take your word for it.
Jeff, let me ask you about La Russa. So in the first week of the season, there was some controversy about whether or not he should have challenged a play and time expired. So that brought some spotlight on him. And then after the Seattle game, the finale, he called himself out on the Zoom call. After 1 week of baseball in two games where he has had an impact, not positively, are you concerned?
No. And listen, anybody who reads me understands that I didn't think the Tony La Russa hire was done for the right reasons, and that I did have some concerns. But I think the criticism of him at this point is too early. And I say that because it's been a decade since he's been in the dugout. And I just feel like whatever you think of the hire, I think giving somebody grace to readjust to a job is something that anyone and everyone deserves. And I will actually stick up for him a little bit on the Andrew Vaughn front, because I know he's been catching some criticism there for not playing him and for playing Billy Hamilton over him. The big issue to me would be if AAA games were going on right now. If there were AAA games going on right now, Andrew Vaughn would be at AAA, and having him up rotting away on the big league roster, not playing much, would be a net negative, because he would be missing those AAA games, those times to develop. The fact that there's just an alternate site right now and that they're playing inter-squad games at most locations where guys are getting a couple of at-bats a day, I think Andrew Vaughn being up around the Chicago White Sox right now and being with that team and making those bonds and spending time there and getting used to big league life is valuable enough where if you're going to burn the service time, there's a reason for it. Now, do I think he should be playing over Billy Hamilton? Yes. But I also think, guys, that if there is a weakness on the Chicago White Sox team, it is the defense. And if you can have Billy Hamilton out there playing a corner outfield spot alongside Luis Robert in center field, you're going to make up for a lot of those issues defensively when you have an outfield that can cover the territory that Robert Hamilton can. So, again, defense is a problem. Not having Vaughn in there long term is a problem. Short term, though, I understand. And overall, is Tony La Russa embarrassed himself? No, not yet. Like, before we go making judgments on anyone, but especially the manager, I'll give it a little more than a week.
Jeff, on the north side, you mentioned Craig Kimbrell, and he's been dominant. Can we be convinced that he has refound his stuff? And how valuable could he be prior to the trade deadline if he continues to throw like this?
I mean, we have to understand the mechanics of the trade deadline, guys. And what I mean by that is if you have a first baseman or a shortstop or a third baseman, for example, that you might want to trade, you need to find teams with holes at those positions that are significant enough that they're going to give somebody of substance up for them. That's not a very easy thing to do. Your trade market tends to be very limited. It's why you saw a bad return for J.D. Martinez. It's why you've seen bad returns generally for position players. When it comes to pitchers, on the other hand, it's bounty. All 10 playoff teams this year, if Craig Kimbrell continues pitching how he is, would like to have Craig Kimbrell in their bullpen. all 10 playoff teams, if there's a starting pitcher, whoever it is for the Cubs, whether it's Jake Arrieta or somebody else who's on a one-year deal, if he is pitching well, all 10 playoff teams will want to have him added to their team. So it is much easier to go out and trade a pitcher at the deadline and get substantive return than it is to do the same for a position player. And because of that, the reemergence of Kimbrel so far, and listen, I don't think the stuff is where it was at his peak, but it's close enough. I'd like to give it a month rather than a week before I call Craig Kimbrel back, just because I know we tend to fall into the same patterns. It happens every year. We missed it last year because it wasn't a full season. We get very excited about 1 week, and then guys come back to earth. And I think we're still waiting for Craig Kimbrel to get back to earth. I don't know if he's going to do it. If he doesn't, if this is who he is, then the Cubs have this is like putting on an old suit and finding a $100 bill in your pocket.
Great stuff, Jeff. We appreciate the time. Thank you.
That was always a pleasure. Thanks for having me, and look forward to talking next week.
Thanks, you got Jeff. It. Jeff Passan every week right here on ESPN 1000. You know, a good poll question could be, who do you expect to get more out of in Chicago baseball this summer? Your main Mercedes or Craig Kimbrel? Who would you do? Is it because you've seen more of Kimbrel and he's one of the greats that you would still bet with him, and that there could be this adjustment with Mercedes and he's 26 or whatever he is, 26, 27, and you're still not convinced? I mean, do you think that would be lopsided?
I do. I mean, look, I think there's just more of a track record, and the recent track record for Kimbrel hasn't been great, but the way he's throwing it now, I would definitely side with him. But the Mercedes has been a great story. There's no question.
Yeah. I want to give you more numbers on the Cubs hitting, and they did win yesterday, but that's been the talk, like being one hit and being two hit and being three hit. They continue to just, you know, play with your emotions, where you watch these guys and you love these guys 1 minute, and then the next minute you're looking up and it's the eighth inning and they have one hit, and you're like, why? How? How does this consistently happen to the Cubs? So we'll continue that conversation coming up next.
Even if you're not spending as much time in the car, don't miss a minute of Waddle and Sylvie at Home. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
All right, we've got a Connie's Frozen Pizza takeover today in the First Midwest Bank studio. You can watch the boys enjoying some Connie's Frozen Pizza, watching the Masters. It's what you should do this weekend. I mean, we got Cubs and Sox back in action tomorrow. The Bulls are playing tonight. Blackhawks really need some points. And then you got the Masters on all weekend. Buy yourself one of those Connie's Frozen Pizza.
Oh, yeah.
And then you can do it at the 2 for $10. And if you download their coupon, you can get it 2 for $9. So search for that, the Connie's Frozen Pizza coupon online. And they've got the special going at your local Jewel Osco and also at Mariano's. They're available wherever you shop in the Chicagoland area. And I think it's one of the great technological advancements of our day.
The frozen pizza?
Yeah, back in the day, the frozen pizza was not something that you had to cook it on like some sort of a weird tin.
Bleck just came in here to grab a slice or two as well. Little guy with big stomach.
Now you get a pizza appetite that people know from 1963. People nice in sausage. Chicago knows Connie's Frozen Pizza. Yeah. I see you, Bleck. You're wearing the Connie's Frozen Pizza shirt
as
well.
We all are. What do you mean he is?
Yeah.
It's a uniform.
Supporting the cause.
Oh, wait a second. Wait, like when the Bears show up for a game on Sunday at noon, you don't think they're wearing different uniforms, do you?
Like not some days they do. Mitch thought they did.
That's true. It's a good point. Like, yeah, it's a good point. Like, you know what? I'll just be quiet because you were right.
Oh, so why don't we, at the end of this segment, remind me, okay? We'll give away another frozen pizza or two. to our great listeners, and we're going to be giving more and more of these away. Absolutely awesome. Love the partnership with Connie's Frozen Pizza. You can watch the show, like always, on twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Also, download that ESPN Chicago app, whether it's on your phone and you connect your phone through your car Bluetooth. You get it crystal clear that way. Sox baseball is also available in the Chicagoland area on the ESPN Chicago app. Tell your at-home smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
You had the same feeling that I did yesterday. I mean, and Carmen allayed any fears that I may have had. But watching Lance Lynn in April on a less-than-perfect weather day throw 110 pitches, you're just like, wow, it's when early
he didn't
for that.
Need, when he didn't need to.
Yeah, but you know what? That's who he is.
Right.
That, so I'm that, not, you know, like, I'm not going to sweat it. And Carm came out with all the stats today.
Well, wasn't the stat that his last start was the first time he didn't hit 100 pitches in,
I
like,
think so.
30 yeah. starts or right. something like that?
And yeah. Carm said that, like, after he throws 110 pitches, the following start, like, his ERA is ridiculously low. So, like, this is who he is. He's a horse. I said horse.
He's been this, like, different pitcher for the last 3 years, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's why I'm like, really? Lance Lynn was their big move for the rotation with everything available? And it.
He's been a top 10 AL Cy Young vote getter, hasn't he?
For the last 2 years, yeah. I think. So, yeah, I mean, that's awesome. You go Giolito, Keuchel, Lynn.
Well, that bullpen needed a day off as well, wouldn't
yes,
you say?
Yes, they
so,
did.
I mean, like, that was the perfect opening day out of Guaranteed Rate Park. I mean, field. It was fantastic.
So how do you, like, again, do you think Wilson Contreras is a good baseball player?
Yeah.
Yes or no? Just
yeah.
answer yes,
yes
or no. Is Chris Bryant a good baseball
yes.
player? Is Anthony Rizzo
yes.
a good baseball player? Is Javi Baez
yes.
a good baseball player? Is Ian Happ a good baseball player?
Yeah, I like Ian Happ.
Is Jack Peterson a good baseball player?
Yeah.
How, at the end of the day, do you line all those guys up together? You know, say what you want about Jason Hayward. Jason Hayward had one of his better years last year. I think it was first or second. Tells you how bad they were, too, in on-base percentage and, I think, OPS last year for the Cubs. So, like, you put it all together. It's the, like that football calculator that you used to talk about, okay?
Yeah.
You add this, plus this, and it computes to what it's supposed to compute to. But, like, you add all these guys in, this guy plus this guy plus this guy plus this guy equals nothing. How do you explain that?
It equals you'll get to the postseason, but, like, there are really no advancement. I don't get it. I'm with you. I think that, you know, maybe you've seen the best of all of them. You know, at the age of 29 or 30, maybe for whatever reason, they're starting to decline, and this is the decline. And you saw them kind of wow you earlier in their careers. I don't know. Collectively, you know, separately, they can impress you. Collectively, it just, for whatever reason, the pieces of the puzzle don't fit in crunch time and in the biggest moments, at least recently.
And it shouldn't have to, right? Because if everyone hits, baseball's like one of those games where, hey, just drive them in. I know there's like hitting to the right side and all those things, but they should be able to be better offensively than they've been, especially when they've needed them most, against the Marlins last year, a couple of years ago against the Brewers and then the Rockies. I mean, this is not the first time. And, like, I remember I was watching the game the other day, and I was remembering again about Chili Davis. Oh, man, do you remember how evil Chili Davis was?
Yeah.
Davis, he wanted them to be guys who they weren't, and it was just not a good connection between millennials and between an older school guy. Maybe he was right. Maybe he was right all along. Maybe they were the young. What do they do? What do they do in Yellowstone when they have to break in the horse? What do they call that? The young horse. You got to break the horse, or what do they call that? You got to break in the horse. Is that a thing, or am I daydreaming here?
Am I hallucinating?
We should ask Cap. Cap's a horse guy, right?
Sometimes I'm following, but I mean, you trying to break a colt? I don't know.
Yeah, like, you were right.
I know
right.
what you're doing. Yeah, like, yeah, Rip, you know, gets on the horse and actually gets the horse to eventually to behave.
Right, yes.
There's
exactly.
a science to it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So maybe he was doing that with all the young bucks. And yes,
well,
they were good.
A buck is a deer. Like, okay, are we going with a horse, or what are we doing?
Shoot. Yeah, like, he was trying to break them in and get more out of them than they were getting out of themselves. And yes, a lot of talent got them far in 15 and 16, but the league caught up. And with velocity.
Remember when they faced, was it the Dodgers in the postseason, and the Dodgers just threw them a heavy dose of high fastballs and nobody could catch up to them?
17.
Because everyone had that uppercut swing because they were trying to launch the ball.
And then they went to the new hitting coach. Then that's when they fired John Melee, and they brought in Chile, I think, for 18, wasn't it? And then, like, it worked early, and they tried to work more on situational hitting and doing different, being more than just C-ball, hit-ball, being more than just the three true outcomes. And then we ended up hearing that they never connected.
Well, isn't Javi an easy pitch? I mean, it's easy to pitch to Javi, isn't it? Like, honestly, if you leave one over the plate, most guys are going to beat you, and he'll beat you. And even, like, the home run he hit yesterday.
Bad ball.
It was a bad ball, and he was able to get it out. But 9 times out of 10, he's going to see, that's where you are with Javi. That home run was cool. Like, he reaches down and lifts a ball that almost bounces and hits it out of the park. But 9 times out of 10, or dare I say 90 times out of 100, he's swinging and missing at that. That ball's out of the zone, and he's going to end up with a strikeout, not hit that home run.
Would you ever throw a strike to Javi Baez?
Never!
And he may hit a bad ball out. He's a good bad ball hitter. But I would say walk. You want to walk?
Yes.
Walk. You're going to strike out more times, though.
You proved to me that you can actually have any plate discipline at all. Okay, like, until you prove that to me, I'm throwing you nothing but junk outside and low. And I'm going to make you chase it. Like, there's zero plate discipline with him. You would think over the course of time it would you know, he would learn and mature and stuff. But he's still, you know, a fine player. He's excellent in the field. He's fun to watch. When he gets a hold of it, he's in one of those streaks. He's, you know, he's double fun to watch. But there are too many times when you just ask yourself, Javi, you've been in the league too long. You're too accomplished to go after that consistently.
I'd love to talk to, like, one of the managers who faces the Cubs a lot.
And ask them how easy they are to actually game plan for.
Yes, yes. Is the book out on the Cubs? And it wasn't that quote, and maybe this is in the same discussion of not getting better, but it's not evolving, maybe. Maybe they were really good in 15 and 16, and with the continued advancements of velocity and more velocity and learning how to get the Cubs players out, they never readjusted. And Chili Davis tried to make them adjust, and then they're like, oh, now we're struggling, and now we can't be ourselves, and I don't feel like myself, and that, this sucks. And then what have we seen since they got rid of Chili, who tried to make them do one thing? They're the same guys in 19. They're the same guys in 20, and now they're so far early, they're the same guy. If this was just an isolated season, there would be no way I'd be ranting about the Cubs' bats 7 games into a season.
But they picked up where they left off last year.
But this is more of the same, where they leave you confused with how good they are with the names, but at the end of the day, they have 1, 2, or 3 hits with nothing on the scoreboard, and you just say, maybe the book's out. Maybe the Brewers just know how to pitch them. How do you explain that Woodruff no hits them one start in 20 and then he's starts off where he left off in 21? How do you explain?
No, you're right. I think that it's a team that sometimes they're going to get hot and they're going to wreck you, but they're probably a pretty easy team to game plan for when you're going out there to play them.
So I'd love to talk to a manager like that, and I'm more confused. Like when I did this thing, the Instagram Live, I was just like, guys, I don't know what to say anymore. I'm so confused. I love all these guys. I love Contreras. I love Rizzo. I love Baez. I love them all, but they don't equal winning offense. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. We got Waddle's World coming up. Chuck Garfine. Chuck is claiming yesterday may be the greatest opening day of all time. When we brought that up, was it one of the best? He texted me and he said he wants to talk about that. Okay. So Chuck's going to join us.
I want to talk about pizza later, too.
Okay, good. It's all coming up inside Waddle's World.
Having fast Wi-Fi matters. Use my Wi-Fi to connect to just about everything in my house these days. My Wi-Fi is fast. I'm talking like lightning fast. And it needs to be because I got a lot of people in my house all connected to the internet at the same time. I know what you're asking. Why is it so fast? Well, it's because my friends at Xfinity recently introduced Gig Speed Wi-Fi, the fastest Wi-Fi you can get. With all the devices in the house, gig speeds aren't enough. You need gig Wi-Fi to power them, only from Xfinity. Xfinity increased their gig speed internet by 20%, and their new router gives you speeds faster than a gig over Wi-Fi, and it's still the same price. It's a big deal. To get more information on the gig speed Wi-Fi from Xfinity, visit Xfinity.com/gig. And to get started, call 1-800-XFINITY, visit Xfinity.com, or drop into an Xfinity store today for more details. Restrictions apply. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Speed increase applies to 1 gig service. Advertised Wi-Fi speed requires gig speed internet and compatible X-Fi gateway.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Let's get weird. 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 Weird.
Let's get weird.
Yeah. Let's get weird. Welcome into Waddle's World. It's brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/findus. Member FDIC. Are you going to watch Bulls and Hawks tonight?
Yeah, it's really the only Chicago sporting event, isn't it?
That's true. I believe that is the case. Bulls looking to make it 4 in a row. How excited are you? Now, listen, again, they beat a depleted Nets team. They beat a depleted Pacers team. They beat a depleted Raptors team. But, hey, you can only beat the teams that are on your schedule.
Absolutely. Right.
And so, you saw Zach last night drop 13 assists on his teammates, too.
You're right. And he had that big three-pointer that we needed late when that four-point cushion that we had or we were given for, they were closing in on
him. I heard Carm say today, too, that he kind of likes the Bulls tonight. Aren't they getting two?
I'm looking right now in DraftKings.
Yeah, they are.
The Hawks have been better, haven't they? Haven't the Hawks been better?
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd take the Bulls tonight.
By the way, there is a, for all those DraftKings users, there is one of those special bets tonight.
You're the best in the world at finding these.
Well, look, I like to bargain shop. You know what
fine.
I mean?
No,
like
I'm
when I go into Target, I want to buy the stuff that's on sale.
Yes.
I look on DraftKings. They always have the odds boosts. Yesterday, I got a boost on the White Sox. So not only did I take the White Sox, I used my MLB boost on them.
Done.
So tonight, they've got one of these hammer the over totals. So bet the over on the Bulls in Memphis. It's a $25 max bet. And for every 300 bets, they lower the over by a point. So right now, the over is 166. You know, this is a gimme bet.
Yeah.
It's basically, they're giving you, it's plus 100. They're giving you basically a free $25 to win here.
So
if you're a DraftKings user, and even if you don't play often, play this one. Bet the over on Bulls and
I'm not
Bulls
giving you 162 for like it, love it, by the way.
Yeah, no, you can't have that. But Sylvie's on a hot streak, so he doesn't need
it. Three for three last week.
He does. Would you guys like to go to Augusta, Georgia, and get yourself a Masters update?
Let's all go to the sunken place.
What do you mean by the sunken place?
You have to see the movie.
Get Out. You got to watch it.
Oh, you told me that the other day, didn't you?
Yeah.
What movie is that?
Get Out.
Get Out. You got to watch it.
We're not telling you to get out.
What are you telling me?
You get out of here, buddy.
Guys, wait a second. What movie?
You get out of town, buddy.
Justin Rose is your leader, currently at 7 under par. He shot an even par 72 today. He was puking on himself earlier in the round. I don't mean that literally. I mean figuratively. Not a good start to his round today, but he was able to excel on the back nine. I think that's where he made most of his progress yesterday as well. I think he was just ridiculously good on the backside of Augusta. So Justin Rose, 7 under par, 3 tied in second place, Mark Leishman, Jordan Spieth, and Will
just
something.
Like Jim Nance.
Yeah. No, I'm no Jim Nance. I don't want to be Jim Nance. Jim Nance is Jim Nance. So those guys are all 5 under par. Who else? Justin Thomas shot a 67 today. He's 4 under par. So is Tony Finau. Who else do I see for you that you would recognize?
How did DJ
and care about?
Do? Did you mention DJ?
DJ was better today. I mean, I think he's going to make the cut. Currently, the cut is projected at +3, and that's where he is. DJ shot, or no, he's, I take that back. He is on, what is he on the 10th hole right now? He's 1 over par for the day.
Oh, so is he 4 over now?
He's 3 over.
Okay. Where's Brooks?
So over there.
Got something for Brooks?
Brooks Koepka. Hold on a second there. I'm scrolling. He's scrolling. Bryson DeChambeau, if you're interested, shot a 5 under par 67 today. He's 1 under par. I don't see Koepka. I do see Koepka. He's +4 for the day, 6 over for the tournament. Currently, he's on the 13th hole. Doesn't look like he's going to make the cut. Same for Rory. Rory McIlroy is +6. I heard a lot of noise about Rory. Yeah, it's going to be when Rory wins, and he's going to get the lifetime slam.
What about John Rahm? You got John Rahm there?
John Rahm is actually playing the event. It was questionable whether or not he was going to play because his wife was, I believe his wife was due, and she had the baby last week, which made it okay for him. He's even par, Chris, through 9. Even
Ricky,
par
Ricky for Fowler?
Ricky Fowler did. I give you Sandy Lyle. He's +12.
Well, I'm asking about the golfers I like.
Okay,
because that's what this turns into every year. Sylvie, you got some golfers? Phil Mickelson, you want? Where's Phil?
Phil Mickelson's at a +3 right now.
Are we out on Phil? We're done with Phil?
No, Phil is. I don't know how you feel about him personally, but he's projected to make the cut. Ricky Fowler hasn't been playing so well.
What about Sergio? Sergio was having a bad day.
He's through 12. He is. He's -1 on the day.
Oh, good. Okay. Will he make the cut?
He's +3 for the tournament.
Is my favorite golfer out there.
Yeah, what about Abdallah's guy?
Kirdek Apibonrat.
Excuse me?
Kirdek Apibonrat. He's a Thai golfer.
Where's he at?
He only golfs so he can pay for his Yeezys and Rolexes.
Boom. That's a golfer we can get
That's
beyond.
A golfer I can. And he vapes on the course. So about, I doubt he's out there.
I don't think
he participated.
Did you mention Tommy Fleetwood?
Tommy Fleetwood had a hole in one yesterday. Tommy Fleetwood shot a 200 par 70 today. He's even.
What about Xander Schauffele?
Xander Schauffele.
You gonna name your kid Xander Black?
Maybe, yeah. That's not bad.
That for a name?
Zachary Morris.
What? I don't see.
What about Patrick Reed? He stinks.
No, Patrick Reed is good.
That guy's.
You don't like a Patrick Reed, huh?
No.
Because you think he's evil like Wilbon.
Yeah.
He's a cheater, right?
Yeah,
Patrick Reed is even par on the days, 2 under through 9. He's 2 under for the tournament.
Patrick Reed, cheater, much like Trevor Bauer. And that guy can kick rocks, too.
Oh, wait. Is Trevor Bauer a cheater?
Oh, yeah.
You guys didn't see the
What's
story
going on
from the
here?
Athletic?
Is this with the grip?
Well, he's
going
to have a YouTube video about it.
He what?
They sent in his balls after his last start.
Well, that's what happens when you've been married for 30 years. They send in your balls.
Oh, do they think he's using too much of the pine tar so he can spin
sauce.
It better?
He's so getting too much sauce on his hands.
He's doctoring the balls.
I don't know. He had a little YouTube video last time when someone else was cheating, and he was against it, so he better not get caught red-handed.
Oh, was he against?
Or is it blue-handed because he's a Dodger now?
Well, that would be the.
You just don't hate. You hate him. Why do you hate him?
Yeah, because he's just insufferable.
He bothers you.
He's insufferable.
There's too much.
So, who's your favorite golfer?
My favorite golfer is Tiger Woods.
Outside of Tiger Woods.
Outside of Tiger Woods, I would probably say.
Lee Westwood was an interesting follow. He's in his upper 40s, and he's been playing good golf. I'm trying to find where Lee is right
probably
now.
Probably Justin Thomas.
Justin Thomas?
Okay. Yeah, I like Brooks. I'm a Koepka guy, too.
I'm a Koepka guy as well.
Bubba, where's Bubba at?
I could take him or leave him.
What about Hembo?
Hembo, Bubba, Hembo, Bubba, hashtag?
They had a good conversation the other day about analytics, though. They had a really good conversation.
Bubba Watson is even par. All right. Actually, he's 2 under for the day through 12. He's even for the tournament.
You know,
I believe there was only 4 guys that shot in the 60s in round one. I currently see like 11 guys. So the course is playing a little easier. The one thing I thought by looking at the course yesterday when I was watching a lot of the Masters, The greens looked a little banged up, or more banged up than normal.
The greens looked like rough, and the rough looked like greens.
I'm just saying, like it didn't look normal.
Can I ask you a question?
Just
if
one.
They say the cut line is three plus three.
Yeah.
Does that mean if you're at plus three,
you make it? Yes.
Or you make it?
No. What do you mean? No.
So plus three, you're in. Anything worse than plus three, you're out.
Correct. Plus three or better is all, everyone's in.
Gotcha.
Who's Brendan Todd?
It's Brendan Todd. He's got two first names. Don't trust him.
He's the son of the Todd family.
Sylvie, did you just do Todd?
I did. Yeah, we were going to have McShay on probably next week too.
Are you going to do that when he comes on?
With two first names.
By the way, this also the accident report shows Tiger Woods actually not only was he going way too fast, I believe was the conclusion that we'd been waiting for. But he also believed he was in Florida after, I believe, because he had hit his head or he was out of sorts. I mean, it was a pretty violent wreck. Didn't remember anything about his car wreck February 23rd. Believed he was in Florida when a sheriff's deputy interviewed him at a Los Angeles area hospital moments after the accident. Those were among the new details included in a 22-page traffic collision report and supplemental report released by the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. Boy, was he... Didn't they say he was... He was going in excess of almost 80 miles an hour.
More than that.
He hit the tree at
70-something, but the black box, I want to say, said between 84 and 87.
Wow. On that road, which anyone who lives in that area will tell you is very, you know, it's a tricky and dangerous road.
I'm all for the 80s when you're like on 90.
On the highway?
Yeah, you're on 90, and you know how they made it now, like 6 or 7 lanes wide heading out to Rockford. You're going straight down 90, and that's a breeze. There are no curves. It's straight driving. Fine. You want to risk it with getting a ticket. See what your car can do. In a 45 on a winding road to go 84 to 87.
Yeah, don't do
that. Yeah.
Chris or Adam, you guys have any other requests for the Masters scores or updates?
No,
I did not see Ricky Fowler. Is he participating?
I don't know. He's just one of my favorite golfers.
He is. Really? He's cool?
Well, yeah. You know, I feel that because golf...
You like his Rocket Mortgage commercials?
Yeah, it's okay. Hold on. Gotta get the golf music. I just think we all have, you know, like three or four guys you follow each and every tournament.
I used to not like Phil Mickelson. I'm kind of a Phil guy now.
Okay, you're a Phil guy.
How could you not like him, though?
Because I was always a Tiger guy, and Phil and Tiger always had this rivalry.
Really.
Now I can be both.
I'm a Finau guy. I'm a Finau guy.
I like Tony Finau.
I'm a Fowler guy. I'm a Brooks Koepka guy.
Okay. When Tony Finau clicked his ankle back in place in the Masters 2 years
ago. Like a boss?
That was cool.
Oh, wow.
That was awesome. So I don't see Ricky Fowler on my list here.
I got to tell you, though,
Black. Stuart Sink?
No. Black, I was rooting for Patrick Reed. Didn't he win the Masters a few years ago?
Yes.
Kicked his parents out, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like, they live there. I was rooting for Reed, and he's been a great Ryder Cup guy. So I'm going to tell you, I'm a Patrick Reed guy.
Okay.
Right, there you go.
Yeah. I like a little salt.
Yeah, he's been accused of cheating
Reed
as well
and
several times.
And you can get out.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, I have a story about aliens and something we call Florida or Ohio. This hour is brought to you by Xfinity. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity X5.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
My daughter told me about this the other day. Did you know that America is facing a ketchup package shortage?
No.
Like a ketchup shortage.
How could that be?
I don't know.
Is it because of everyone packing to-go orders over the last year?
Probably so. Yes, because everyone's, you know, picking up stuff. And so there is going to be a ketchup packet shortage.
I would think that's easy, though, to turn around, no? I mean, don't we have that down these days? Hey, let's put some ketchup in a little packet. We've been doing this for years. Let's just up the machinery here.
What happens when demand outpaces supply? And then you have a little bit of a shortage. Or maybe this is a manufactured shortage where but you don't pay for the ketchup as a consumer. But the restaurant does, and then they pass it along in raised prices of the food. anyway, who cares? Let's talk about aliens. Aliens might be friendly, but don't bet on it. Okay? There's a professor of he's a professor of theoretical physics at City College of New York, and he's like a pop science icon.
Okay.
He's issued a warning about extraterrestrials and efforts to seek them out. I think it's a terrible idea, the 74-year-old astrophysicist said. He's best known for his contributions to string theory. He's got a new book. But what he's telling you right now is the last thing you need to do is want to reach out to aliens because they may not want to be reached out to.
But what if we spot an alien here? You're saying if I see one in my backyard, don't approach it?
That's kind of what he says. He says, like European settlers to the Americas, he hypothesizes that our otherworldly visitors may also approach amicably, although they could harbor more insidious intentions. Now, personally, I think that aliens out there would be friendly, but we can't gamble on it, so I think we will make contact, but we should do it very carefully. He said, just don't invite them over. Don't invite them over for dinner.
Yeah, it could get lost in translation, too. We could both be friendly, but one thinks that the happy could be sad in alien lingo, and then the next thing you know, you think you're the other person's wanting to fight. But
don't do any bad alien mother jokes either, because they may not take kindly to it. Right?
I like that.
So don't do that. That's what you do. You guys want to play a game?
Yes.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Waddle and Sylvie, your exclusive home for Florida, Ohio, is brought to you by Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming from head to toe in Florida, Ohio, and across the globe. Make sure you use promo code
Chicago. 20% off and free shipping, by the way, when you use that.
Got to get that free shipping.
You got to. I hate that. When they give you a percent off, then you see $7.99 for shipping. I'm like, dude, how much am I spending?
Call that the old bait and switch.
You got to do free shipping, too, when you buy a lot from a company. I love that Manscaped does this.
Sure. Up to 5 monkeys on the loose last seen in a cemetery.
Ooh.
Police are on the lookout for monkeys. Some last seen swinging in trees from a cemetery. Police say there are as many as 5 monkeys on the loose, suspected to be from a private owner.
Oh, I've heard stuff like this. Let's go. I'm going to go Columbus, Ohio.
No, are you thinking the Columbus Zoo? Isn't that where Jeff Hammond, where? I think that this is a Florida thing. They love their all different sorts of animals. They get them illegally. They come in from boat shipments, too.
I'm with you. It just sounds too easy to say Florida.
And I love, the first place I go at the zoo is to the primate section of the zoo. I love watching the monkeys.
No, you don't. You go to the giraffe section.
Well, then, no, we do feed the giraffes. We don't do that first. It's kind of like the grand finale.
Okay.
I seek out the monkey exhibit.
Isn't Carol Baskin's big cat place in Florida?
Yeah.
So I think a lot of, Sylvie's right on this. There's a lot of
seems too
exotic,
obvious, Chris.
Fake zoos.
No, but it's a group and it's a private residence. I think there's a lot of that going on in Florida in the Everglades. I'm going to go Florida.
If you see any monkeys last seen at the cemetery, probably, sitting around listening to The Cure or something like that. Monkeying around.
Hey!
Please alert the Cincinnati Zoo!
Yeah!
Lame.
Oh, hey! Lame. Yes! That's how we do it in Cincinnati. We monkey around.
Whoa. That was a curveball.
I told you it sounded too easy, didn't it?
Yeah. And there's been a lot of Ohio ones.
I love strutting into the weekend with a W.
Let's give away some pizza. How about 2 free pizzas here? One to each person. So let's go caller 20, caller 40, 312-332-3776. It's a Connie's Frozen Pizza takeover of the Waddle and Sylvie Show and the First Midwest Bank Studio. We'll give you a free Connie's Frozen Pizza right now for caller 20 and caller 40, 332-3776. Chuck Garfine says, yesterday may have been the best ever. He'll explain in 2 minutes.